Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Davis Guggenheim, the director of, you name me, Malala. Now, as this thing is gestating in your mind, a couple major events happen. Not only was she shot and then later becomes the, you know, the youngest ever Nobel Prize winner, but where in there did you start tracking her story and start formulating it as a doc idea?
Well, the producers, Walter Parks and Laurie MacDonald, Hollywood producers who ran DreamWorks for many years, called me up and said, we were going to make a movie out of this, but she's so extraordinary, we should make a documentary. And I'd only known a little bit. I'd read that she'd been shot on her school bus. What I didn't realize was what an extraordinary story she has. You know, she's named, her father named her after this character, Malala of Maywand, who rallied the Afghan troops to defeat the British at the Battle of Maywand. She's named after a girl who speaks out and is killed for speaking out. I mean, how could you write something like that?
Did you try to play up that almost fatalistic idea, like born to fulfill that destiny?
There's a question in the movie and why it's called He Named Me Malala. Was she the product of her father's sense of mission? Because he himself was a strong believer in girls' education, or is she herself? And what's really inspiring by the movie is you get to meet her. You're in Birmingham, England with her family. She's arm wrestling with her brothers. They're laughing, they're teasing each other. And you're also seeing her on her out there in the world trying to fight for girls' education. You know, there are 66 million girls who are out of school. And to her, it's her sense of mission. But it's a really exciting, because the movie's opening worldwide. It's opening in Washington on October 9th. And I think girls everywhere are saying, this is a story for me. Yeah. I want to bring my father, I'm going to bring my mother to go see this movie.
How did you get access to her and her family? Tell me about sort of reaching out to them and making that actually happen.
Well, I didn't know what it would be like. You know, I took a cab to their home in Birmingham, England, rang the doorbell, and Malala just walked outside and let me in. And they immediately opened their doors to me. And
Did they know you were coming, or it was a surprise visit?
We had an appointment.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm half Jewish, half Episcopalian. I never really got to know in a real way a Muslim family. So I didn't know what would it be like to walk into their home. What I realized and what you see when you see this movie is a family just like mine.
Yeah.
You know, charming, wonderful, funny, irreverent. And I started to think about, it made me think about what kind of father I am. I have three kids, I have two daughters. And even though they're from this other part of the world, 7,000 miles away, I started to ask, you know, do I really believe that my daughters are equal? Am I doing everything I can to make my daughters feel like they can do what this incredible girl has done, which is to speak out and to fight for what she believes?
Yeah, how does that, I mean, you're talking about dealing with, you know, a Muslim family, and I assume probably a more progressive Muslim family that she probably grew up in compared to a lot of others. But how's that also reflected across the pond here?
Yeah.
Like you're saying, I mean, you said how it's reflected in your own family, but just generally, you know, we like to, a lot of Americans like to view themselves as, you know, so advanced, but how is that still mirrored on this one issue of women's rights?
Well, when you look at Malala and her father, in many ways, they are more enlightened than I am.
Right.
Her father built this incredible school in Pakistan. Girls were being educated. Girls' lives were being inspired. They were becoming doctors and lawyers and changing society. The Taliban came in and fought that. They were blowing up. They blew up 400 schools in the area where Malala lived. But when I go home to my own family, I think, do I really think my daughters are equal to my sons? Yes, I think they are. But do I act that way? You know, sometimes when I think of something that's on my mind, I ask my son what he thinks. I don't ask my daughter. And so maybe I could do more. And I think that's what's so appealing about this movie. It's why I think the movie's got such a wide reach, and why Fox Searchlight decided to release it worldwide is because the choices that they made in their life play upon me, and they ask me these fundamental questions of what kind of father am I? And I think girls can say, am I doing what Malala does? Do I choose to use my voice to speak out for what is meaningful to me?
That's true. And that's how our audience is. That'll be our buy-in, too. I mean, we'll all see that reflected in how we treat our own daughters and that's sisters right. and women in our lives. Tell me a little bit about Malala as a person, just what it's like being in the room with yeah. this light.
She's an incredibly focused, serious young woman. I was with her when she went to the White House, when she asked President Obama about drone strikes. She's fearless.
That's gutsy.
You know, there's a lot of powerful people who would be too intimidated to ask him those questions. Right. I've seen her in Nigeria when she asked the president, why isn't he doing more for the girls who are kidnapped? But I also see her at home surfing the web and looking for pictures of people like Brad Pitt and Roger Federer. She's an ordinary girl. Right. And I think sometimes we put people on a pedestal and we think, well, we could never be like them. She was an ordinary girl. They were taking away something that was very meaningful to her. They were blowing up schools. They were flogging women. And she said, I'm going to step up. I'm going to use my words to fight this terrible thing. That's what's so incredible. Yeah. Is that, and it makes me wonder about myself. Do I stand up for the things that are important to me? Do I do even half as much as what she does?
Yeah. It's the ordinary person doing extraordinary things. And that can be all of us, really.
It can be all of us. And when you see the story, you realize that's all it takes.
Yeah.
That what's extraordinary is courage and speaking for what you believe. And that's what this movie's about.
Yeah. Well, you've kind of made a career of doing that, you know, as humble as you would like to be. And it's admirable, sir. But you've made it. You're doing, you know. You've made a career speaking up for what you believe too. Here's Malala speaking of girls' childhood education. Is this a natural progression from, you know, Waiting for Superman and sort of those ideas that percolated in your own
consciousness? There's the through line about education, because I made Waiting for Superman, and my first film was about public school teachers called The First Year. But mostly this is just a father-daughter story. Okay. My dream was, when I started this movie, the very first day, I was like, what if teenage girls said to their parents, I want to go see this movie. This movie speaks to me. What if this movie spoke to girls all around the world? Because there are 66 million girls who are out of school. Yeah. And what's exciting is that there's so many world's problems that seem impossible to solve. But educating girls is the one thing we know works. It's a silver bullet. When you educate a girl, it transforms her life. It transforms our lives, because we have productive societies, we have more humane societies, and we see it in this story, and we see it around the world.
When you come to the point where you say, I have to make a doc on this pressing issue, you do an amazing job with it, sometimes an Oscar-winning job with it, you put it out there in the world, and it's received.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're moving on to other projects, but what is your mental follow-up to those issues? Let's say, like, Inconvenient Truth. What are your current thoughts on climate change compared to that? Or education with, you know, Superman? Like, what is the mental follow-up to that?
Well, there's no better feeling than to feel invested in something and feeling part of something. I mean, the movement to fix climate change is very important to me. My job... I have to be clear about what my job is. I'm a storyteller. I make documentaries. So I have to walk the walk. Like, I have solar panels on my house. I have an electric car. And that's really exciting, because, like, my movies are made with solar power, clean energy, and my car is driven by the rays of the sun. That's pretty cool. But in terms of being an activist, I have to know that my job is to continue telling stories for good.
What is the, if it's people who are about to come out to the Nat Geo thing tonight, or people that are going online and looking at all the movie listings and they see your doc on, what is it, October 9th in D.C., why should they go see this? What's the main pitch? Just to an average American family, why go see this?
There's no better feeling than to feel part of something. You know, I like my movies to be not just movies. They're part of participating in something. And so when people bought a ticket to Inconvenient Truth, and certainly when they buy a ticket to this movie, they feel like they're being part of something special. It's the movie's funny, it's inspiring, but you also feel like you're part of this extraordinary girl's life.
Gotcha.
Fox Searchlight, which releases great movies, hasn't done a documentary in years, but they saw this as a story that has universal appeal. It's a family story. It's a father-daughter story. they're releasing it worldwide because they think it's a special movie. And I think audiences, I think, will really learn something from it. You know, teenage girls, their mothers and their fathers will come away feeling inspired, but they'll also come away being part of something. Part of something very special.
Absolutely. And I know all of your mental energy is in promoting this current project. What do you got coming up? Any teasers?
I'm gonna take a short sabbatical. My son is a senior in high school, and I'm gonna take a break and try to be a better father.
Nice. Where are you based?
I live in California. I live in Venice, California.
Oh, nice.
So, trying to be, you know, learn from Malala's father, who's a wonderful father, to be a better father.
Yeah. Take some time to do a little bit of a mental documenting of the senior year.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, cool.
That's
right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. That was easy. Yeah. Well, no, you're good.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah. Not just easy, but good.